Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the ResGen Giving Life podcast, where we hear stories and have conversations about life in Christ, integrating our faith into every area of our life, and talk about ways that we as men can give life to others at home, at work, and in the community. My name is Tom Henderson, the founder of ResGen, and I'm excited to have you joining me wherever you happen to be right now. My guest today is Chris Lawrence. Chris is a follower of Jesus, husband, and father of two children, ages 8 and 4. He's also a cancer survivor and the founder of Hope Has Arrived, a nonprofit organization with the mission of helping people find hope, strength, and peace in their battle against cancer. On today's show, Chris and I visit about his journey with cancer, how his ministry helps people find hope in their battle against the disease, and why our culture is so afraid of cancer and really suffering as a whole. We also talk about how we can encourage and minister to others who are struggling, and some of the things that we should and should not say to people in our relational world who currently have cancer or who are just going through challenging times. I have a feeling this is going to be a very helpful episode of the Giving Life podcast. So let's get into it. Here's my conversation with Chris Lawrence. Chris Lawrence, welcome to the Giving Life podcast, brother.
Hey, thank you. It's great to be with you.
Yeah, it's good to have you here. And we were just talking a little bit before we hit record on this thing that you actually are a Sioux Falls native, although, I mean, you're currently living in Colorado Springs, but you were raised right here in the great city of Sioux Falls.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah, I'm born and raised Sioux Falls, so.
Okay. Well, very good. Well, I think it's going to be a lot of, the way that I said in the intro, Chris, was that I just feel like this is going to be a helpful episode for people. I think it's going to be really, really helpful and hope-giving, life-giving. I mean, this is the Giving Life podcast, which I think is so fitting with your story because, your story, the work that you're doing through Hope Has Arrived and through, I know that you work for Crew, as well. And it's all about giving people life and giving people hope. So I just feel like this is just going to be some great synergy in our conversation. But I'd first just like for you to introduce yourself, because this is going to be an introduction to you, for many of our listeners and viewers. So I'd love for you just to give a quick little intro and then we're going to dive into our content today.
Sure. Yeah, no, I'd be happy, to share more about myself. So I'm Chris Lawrence, grew up in Sioux Falls. I've kind of lived off and on there since at different points, but I currently work for Crew, and I am the founder and executive director of a ministry called Hope Has Arrived, which is a ministry that helps people find hope, strength, and peace against cancer. Mm-hmm. And then, I've worked for Crew for 20 years. I did outdoor ministry a lot of years, so taking people on different adventures. It was mostly college students that I was taking on, rock climbing adventures and rafting, and it's fun stuff, right? Yeah. With the college students, they love it. And then, cancer ministry is also great, but it's very different in a lot of ways too. So
right. Well, and it's easier to take people on whitewater rafting trips in Colorado than it is in Sioux Falls. So So I can understand why you're living in the beauty of Colorado and the mountainous areas that you're in. So, let's kind of dive in here a little bit because, one of the main conversations that we're going to have is regarding just cancer and the ministry that birthed out of your journey and your battle with cancer, at age 37. That's when you were diagnosed, correct? With yes. Cancer yourself and you were diagnosed with stage 4. Right away. I mean, you didn't even go through the stages. You didn't go stage 1, then to stage, you just went right into stage 4. Such an overachiever.
That's right. Yeah. I just went right for it.
So. Yeah. I probably shouldn't joke about that, but there's proof right there that talks about how quickly life can change. And how one diagnosis, one situation, one experience in our life really can change the trajectory of your life. And we hear about people that are diagnosed with cancer and all the emotions that go along with that, the fear, pain, loneliness, questions. So let me ask you this, Chris, when you heard those words for the first time, and that you were, now, now carrying that. And what were the thoughts that you and your wife had? What were those first months like for you?
Oh yeah, I mean it was a really difficult time. I mean, to say the least. I mean, you nailed it. It's fear, pain, loneliness. But when I first heard the words from a doctor that, and he couldn't, it was a sports medicine doctor. You know, I got this phone call. We're driving in Longmont, Colorado. That's where we were living at the time. And got this call. It was supposed to be like a routine thing. I had this sports injury. My back was hurting. I was doing a lot of triathlons and stuff. And, you know, I thought he was going to tell me I messed up a disc in my back. Hmm. And it kind of been this ongoing thing. And instead he's like, oh, we got the results of your MRI. And he was emotionally breaking up on the phone, which is never what you want your doctor to do. Mm-hmm. And he says, you know, it looks like that spot in your back, it looks like there's cancer and it's spreading from someone else. And so, you know, I heard that, I had to pull the car over lest I drive in the ditch or what. I mean, it was, you know, it just takes your breath away to get mm-hmm. that kind of news. And then the fear was overwhelming and we had a lot of time to sit on that, which was hard. It's not like you get this kind of bomb dropped on you, you know, like in, it's like someone puts a bomb down your chimney. That's one of my friends talked about when he had a cancer diagnosis, something like that. It's probably pretty accurate. You know, it just blows up everything. Mm. And I remember my wife and I were processing it and just immediately like the focus in my life, it just got really clear when it stripped down like my priorities. I'm like, wow, am I going to get to be here for my wife and my daughter? Am I going to be, what's going to happen? You know, so it was just a lot of fear, a lot of uncertainty, and it was the roughest time.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah. And how old are you now, Chris? Just so.
I'm 45. Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, this was 8 years ago that this all took place. And, you know, when you talk about going through difficult challenges and difficult things, we talk about, you know, how important faith is. But just because we are faith filled and you've been a believer for so long, you've been in the ministry for so long, that doesn't necessarily mean that, okay, there's no fear there, that there's not this, yeah. Like, did you go through a season of, or conversations of disbelief, like, no, this can't be happening to me. The why me, why would God allow this to happen kind of thing. I'm doing his work even. Like, God, I'm doing your work. You know, like, did you have some of those kinds of feelings?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's, yeah, I was in full-time ministry. So it wasn't like, you know, like faith was important. Like I guess it was kind of this whole experience of learning about hope and what Christ actually provides. I thought I understood it before going through cancer, but it was kind of like this whole experience to learn more about it. But yeah, in the beginning, I was asking some questions. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, God, you, this seems like you're asking a lot of me right now. Like, what is this? And I'm going to tell you something, Tom, this is kind of a darker part of it, but it's true. It's what happened. 3 months before I got this diagnosis, we went to a funeral of a family friend with the same type of cancer, although she was a little older than me, and she was diagnosed with a lot earlier stage, and we were at her funeral. So then 3 months later, I get this diagnosis, and it's just like, oh my gosh, you know, like what? I didn't know what God was doing. I didn't know what he had, you know? And it was like, yeah, it was a total loss of hope. I still had spiritual hope, but it was hard. Yeah. And it, you know, the only place, you know, it's like, I couldn't read any of the Bible except the Psalms. And there's so many great Psalms about, you know, people like David's asking questions, you know, where are you, God? Have you forgotten me? And there's just a lot of Psalms like that. And I found my home there. It was all I could read because it was exactly what I was living and where I was at. It was in good company.
Well, man, and I'm so glad that you brought that up with the Psalms, because I love steering people there, because, you know, over 2/3 of them are laments. I mean, they're just more of the like, oh my gosh, what is going on? You know, oftentimes we go to the, you know, the praise Psalms, and I mean, which is perfect for, we need those, but there's so many of them that are just like this bleeding heart of just, God, I need you right now. I mean, I'm going through this difficult time, and I need you right now. So let me ask you this then, Chris. So then you start going through treatment and all this kind of thing. And I know that we're going to not go through all the intricacies of the journey, because you're actually going to be in Sioux Falls in about a week, and you're going to be doing this at a lunch that we're going to talk about later on in the podcast. But as you're going through that treatment, what are the things that gave you really hope? Because we're going to get into this whole just ministry that you started and how you actually help others find hope in their journey. So as you were going through your journey, what are the things that really gave you hope? You talked about the hope in just the faith that you had, for sure. But at the same time, just wondering, what were there other things? I'm sure there were.
Yeah, for sure. There, you know, what was tough about my journey, and you know, everyone's journey is unique, and I know we, like, people that go through cancer, there's a whole myriad of different challenges and whatnot. But for me, it was hard, because I was not getting hope in the traditional places. You know, like medicine, not getting anything. They're pretty much, you have a year to live, you know. And if you do chemo, it might prolong that, but it's going to be miserable. It's going to be kind of futile. So that wasn't there. You know, there's a whole aspect in the cancer world of, you know, you just got to fight it. You just got to fight it. And I understand there is some value there. But for me, when they give you this diagnosis that's kind of like incurable and hopeless, fighting, I was going to lose, you know? And so it's like, what, then I fight and then I lose and then I die a loser, you know? And then, you know, I couldn't buy my way out of the diagnosis. Not that I had much money anyway, I'm in ministry, and so there was just a lot of things that, I mean, really the hope, especially for a long time, was just in the Psalms, you know, just asking God for help, asking God for a chance to fight this cancer, chance to be able to survive. But I didn't know what was going to happen. And I was reflecting over my life and really thankful for everything that God had done, but it felt incomplete too. You know, my wife and I had been married for maybe 3 or 4 years at that point. And we didn't meet until our early 30s. And Elizabeth is amazing. You know, I love my wife so much. And I wish we had met in college, but it just... That wasn't our story, but I meet her, and, you know, like when I was getting this diagnosis, I had some grandparents that celebrated a 70th wedding anniversary. And I'm like, I want 70 years with this woman. And, you know, I get this and it's like, I don't know. Everything that I'm hearing is that's not even remotely going to happen. And I don't think the math adds up anyway when you get married and you're like 30. So like, it's going to be over like 100, like, you know.
Right. So. But at that point you're thinking, I'd be happy with 7. I mean,
that's right.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's just like, I, you know, and even that, just like, man, I feel like I'm being robbed. I feel like I'm being robbed of time with that. So then fast forward, I mean, and so you are, how long were you in treatment? How long was that process for you?
Yeah, it was a long process. I mean, I can share part of the journey. I'll share it in detail. And, you know, there'll be things I'd share, like, you know, when I do the event in Sioux Falls.
Yeah.
That, you know, but I got to give you some, man, because like it won't make sense otherwise. So what happened was, and so I didn't know what was going to happen. I had all this kind of hanging over me. And kind of what happened next was unexpected. Like I was getting treated at Avera. And I just got to say this. I love both of our medical systems in Sioux Falls. They're amazing. Their commitment to cancer research and just like the quality of healthcare. I think a lot of people get it, but maybe they don't fully get it. Like Sioux Falls is crushing it.
Yeah.
But I ended up landing at Avera, but there was this doctor they were going to have me meet with, and I didn't know anything about this. I'd already met with, like, I don't know, three or four doctors and, you know, all this. And I was honestly getting so weary of these meetings because it was always, you know, like, they were professional, they were great, but, you know, traditional medicine, there just wasn't hope to be found in this case. And they were going to try to help me the best they could. But then they're like, hey, there's one other doctor we want you to meet with. And I'm like, okay. And so my dad and my wife and I, we went and met with this doctor, and he was a cancer researcher. I didn't know much about him or anything, but he walks in the room and he's got this thick British accent, and he has his team of medical professionals with him, kind of like his entourage. And he's like, well, I know how to treat this. And we're just like, what? who is this guy?
Yeah.
I didn't see this meeting coming at all. And he was also, you know, he was kind of giving like this hope. And he went on to explain that, you know, he had done this blood test that can look at the drivers of your cancer. It's something they're practicing in cancer care a lot now, mm-hmm. you know, targeted treatment. But he was like, this is what's causing your cancer. And if we do this treatment plan, I believe that we can treat it. And they gave no guarantees. He's not saying,
right,
you know, you do this and this. You know, there's types of cancer. I'm so thankful that they got it down. You know, it's like, we got so much body of evidence, and the textbook says you do this, and most likely you'll be cured. But that's not what they were saying. But he gave this hope. And when he left the room, and, you know, I was talking to my wife and my dad, we're just like, what just happened? And, you know, it was kind of what I prayed for. Just God, just give me a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were like, okay, it's a chance. Let's do this. And that was kind of the start of, I got to say this too. That day, my dad wrote hope on the board in the room. And he also reserved the URL, hope has arrived.
Oh.
Because it was kind of this moment, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
He didn't tell me about that till later, which I'm thankful, because I would have been like, what?
Yeah.
You know, I don't really want to hear about that.
Yeah, exactly. But,
yeah.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the start. And then I, you know, kind of had to sign some stuff about, like, hey, I'm going to do this experimental treatment. And so I did, mm-hmm. but it turned out this doctor was not blowing smoke. He knew what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it quickly, you know, my scan started showing clear, but, you know, I love to say, oh, that was it. And yeah. then I was, you know, that was the end of the story. It's like, no, that's, you know, stage four cancer is a journey. It's yeah. long. I had a lot ahead of me.
Mm-hmm.
There was uncertainty. We were kind of off the map. So it's not, they were like, well, once we do this and then everything's good.
Mm-hmm.
It was still a process, but I think God really used that doctor to give me and my family hope that day.
Yeah. Yeah. So fast forward then to the end of the treatment, which you said was a long journey and all of that. And so then you were told that you were cancer free.
Mm-hmm.
After how many years did they feel like, okay, now we can say this?
You know what? It's a matter of debate, but within time, it was kind of irrefutable. Hmm. You know, but it could be anywhere from a year to maybe 4 years. I don't know, depending.
Because
mm-hmm. then you get into this weird thing. Because they even said, I'm like, so I'm in remission. And they're like, no. And I'm like, well, am I no evidence of disease? And they're like, well, yeah. So am I cured? It's like, well, no, we don't really know. You might be cured. We just don't know yet.
Mm.
So it was kind of this journey, and it was, I needed hope at every turn. Honestly, it was not a quick thing. But that's the thing, as I've learned about hope, that's really all we have is kind of hope in today mm-hmm. and hope for what's coming and just kind of walk in day by day.
Yeah.
That's really what we have. So
Were there things that that you did purposefully, intentionally to take your mind off of the difficult journey that it was? To number one, try to do the best you could to enjoy the life that you still had. And then also figuring out, being someone that had been in ministry or is in ministry, it's always about, you know, pouring ourselves out, which is an important part of anybody. If you're really going to be in ministry, that's the call, is to serve others in the name of Jesus. But of course, there's also the part where we need to receive the ministry. So I'm sure there's people that receive ministries, but I'm also interested in just like, so what are some of the things that you did just to still say like, man, I still want to enjoy life.
Yeah. Yeah. It was tough. Like the first year was just kind of like in the bunker, you know, we're in the bunker. Like it was like, you know, in the foxhole, really. I mean, it was pretty hunkered down, but life did get a little bit more manageable. I mean, I took medical leave for 6 months. That was challenging. And then something I did actually was really hopeful was my background's writing, and I was writing a devotional, and I was writing, it was an outdoor devotional. Mm-hmm. I've always loved outdoor adventure, and it's just something that God has used to kind of bless me, connect me with other friends and things like that. And I thought about that stuff a lot. And even when I couldn't do it, just to have some kind of connection. And it really ministered to me, which was really fun. And side note, I mean, it's cool. Actually, a year ago, there was a publisher who picked it up, and it's out there now. It's Call to the Wild is the name of the book. But it is about, I mean, gosh, going through cancer is kind of wild. You know, so is outdoor adventure, I guess. And I think as my health did improve and they kind of got things under control, then I was able to start getting back into, you know, some activities and things like that. And in Sioux Falls, when I was there, they had a race league at the local ski hill that I would do on Wednesday nights. And, that was a blast.
Yeah.
You know, nice people. It's fun. It's just, skiing is one of my favorite sports. And I know people are like, hey, our hill's not very big, but I'm like, hey,
it's a hill.
We got snow. It's a hill. We got snow here, man. This is fun.
Yeah. Well, and doing some of the things that you enjoy doing. I mean, that's the key, because I mean, it's when we're going through those difficult and journeys that we don't choose, those difficult times that, you know, you would have never chosen that, but you still got to find things. Okay. How do I still find ways to minister, allow God to minister to me in the season that I'm in? And that was one of the ways that was part of who you are and who you, and that allowed you to be who you were, which is, mm-hmm. And so that was a gift. Yes, it wasn't like skiing at Breckenridge. No one would say Great Bear in Sioux Falls is like Breckenridge in Colorado, but yet nonetheless, you're on a hill and you're skiing down it and, you know, feeling the smile from doing that, which, is not to be minimized.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, I was involved with some men's ministry stuff in Sioux Falls too, which is really cool. Bible study fellowship. That was huge. That was a, you know, big blessing in my life too. Just things like that. You're so right, Tom. Like, just I think when you go through difficult things and even something like cancer or other hard medical diagnosis or life-changing things, it's like, yeah, mm-hmm. Stay hold to your identity. I mean, of course my identity is in Christ, but God has made us each certain ways of things that we gravitate towards, and they're not bad things. Mm-hmm. As long as he's like kind of first and he's the love of our life, it's then I think he gives us these gifts. And so finding ways to engage with some of these things that, you know, so who he made me to be was really healthy and helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. So one of the things that that, you know, we traded some emails back and forth was this question of, you know, we live in a culture and a society that like we will do anything we can to avoid suffering, right? I mean, we will just like if we see any possibility of suffering or having to do something that's hard, a lot of times it's like, Yeah, I'm not gonna sign up for that. So let me ask you, as you know, obviously no one chooses cancer, but that is a word that does strike fear. And a lot of times it is because it is so random. I mean, you hear about how random it is. I mean, you are a very healthy individual, right? I mean, you're doing everything. That was the last word that you ever thought would come into your world. You hear about, we've had some friends that their child went very, very small, childhood cancer, right? I mean, just so what is it about just suffering, but cancer specifically, that just causes us to fear that so much?
Yeah, I think you nailed it. It is, I've been reading about it. It's kind of nerding out on it a little bit. I mean, just there's a whole philosophical structure behind why our current modern society suffers so badly. Hmm. Like, in other words, I'm not trying to complain. Like, I like our culture. I'm feel at home in it. But like, one of the things we don't do well is that because we're so individualistic and we prize like pursuing things that, you know, give us, you know, happiness and joy. Like, part of that is that when you suffer, you get something like cancer. It's a massive interruption to that freedom. And there's past societies, it's not like that they like to suffer, but I think they were more about kind of like the community, maybe their family was kind of, and so when they suffered, they almost saw it as part of, it was a necessary thing that would help make them stronger, help their community. And so I think for me and other people, when you get this diagnosis, there's some cultural things going on there that are hard to peel back. Like, I think we're, myself included, I'm like, I hate this.
Sure.
And I think cancer in particular, it has the potential to be so life changing. And, you know, there's the people's physical appearance changes and mm-hmm. can change lifestyle. I mean, it is scary. Mm-hmm. There's good reason for it. And you mentioned childhood cancer, you know, when hope has arrived, we definitely, you know, I've interviewed lots of families and even some childhood cancer survivors, and it's hard. Like, it was hard enough going through it in my 30s. I can't imagine being that young. And there's good reason for fear. I mean, I think there's better reasons mm-hmm. for hope, but the fear is real.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I want to talk a little bit about just Hope Has Arrived. And you mentioned your dad got that URL, and then you were able to establish the URL. So right after you were in remission, cured, where there was some question as to the timing of that, like you mentioned. But so how soon after that season did you say, hey, let's try to do something here that really can help others, give life to others, instill hope in others that are going through their cancer journey?
Yeah. Well, we started it in 2018. We registered a nonprofit in the state of South Dakota. Actually, South Dakota is still currently the only state we're registered in that we're mostly internet based. So, I mean, it's borderless. You know, we reach over 151 countries right now, but, at first, you know, it was 2018, so I was pretty fresh in the journey. Mm-hmm. I honestly did not want to do it. It was so painful, so difficult personally that, like, when I saw this, you know, we kind of saw this opportunity, saw this void where, you know, you search around the internet, there's a lot of great medical information, but especially if you're like what I was going through, you start searching medically, it's terrifying. It's hopeless. And it's really not what's going to help you. And so we saw this void of like, maybe there could be some hopeful stories, some hopeful articles, just things that would kind of be in that space to help people see that there actually is hope too. But initially, you know, when my dad brought that up, I'm like, I can't even talk about that right now. I just kind of got to get through this myself. But eventually there was a couple things that happened or just got to kind of put on my heart in a few different ways. Some Psalms, honestly, Psalm 40, where it talks about, you know, I waited patiently for the Lord, and turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit. And I'm like, wow, what? There could not be a better description of what going through cancer is like, the slimy pit. Right? Mm. And I was also reading this other, there's a devotional. It's about the names of God, but the author was talking about how, you know, so often we want to be healed of things that we need healing from, but we don't want to be involved in other people's healing mm-hmm. and in their story with that. And it was like so convicting. Mm. I'm like, yeah, I kind of want to just get my healing and, you know, just leave this whole cancer thing behind.
Yeah.
But God just was really working on my heart. And I just saw there was, especially as I kind of firsthand got a deeper understanding of his hope. I just saw that I wanted to be a part of that, to help others find hope. Mm. And that, and as I did it, it was hard at first, but I began seeing there's a lot of joy there, and just also this kind of surprise compassion, like pretty core and overwhelming, that I just really, I understand what people are going through. I mean, maybe I don't, you know, haven't walked their shoes. I don't know the exact journey, but there's so much crossover with the cancer experience that it was pretty easy to like connect with other people on the back of that cancer. And I remember even just interviewing some people for the first time. It was pretty powerful.
Hmm.
And so it was not what I wanted, but it became a ministry that is a joy, I would say.
Well, and what you found in just your own searching, and what you found through just doing, is how needed it is, because it doesn't go into 151 countries in the course of less than 6 years if it's not needed. I mean, obviously the Lord is using it in powerful ways, and the, you know, the need for it is just so evident when you read the way 151 countries and, you know, well over a million people that you've been able to impact and instill hope in. So let's just talk about just what can be found at the website. What are some of the things that you do to help people find hope? Because it's easy to say, hey, look, you know, let's just keep hope alive, you know, but how do you truly do that? And how has hope arrived for other people because of hope has arrived being present in their lives?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. Yeah, because I think hope can be a little abstract.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it's one of the most powerful virtues ever, but it can be a little abstract. So, we've been able to reach over 3 million people since we started. And
that's amazing.
I mean, that is kind of blowing my mind. But you're right. People, and I'd like to say, oh, we're just, you know, we're so, our content's so good. I think our content is good, but there's just, it's the need.
Yeah.
You know, cancer, it just, so the four ways that we found that we help people find hope, we found there's four, right? It's, the first one is stories of hope. Just telling stories of other fighters, survivors, even some caregivers or family members. We've done over 54 so far. My background's journalism, so, you know, just interviewing people, telling their stories. And you would think, oh, that sounds nice, but I talk to people all the time. And I say, okay, so tell me, how did you connect with us? How did we help you? And they said it was the stories. It was the stories,
yeah.
Because I was facing a tough diagnosis, and even though the you know, their stories weren't exactly the same and your diagnosis wasn't the same, there was this sense that when I read that they were able to get through that I thought maybe I could too. And you know, there was something about it. People feel connected, they feel inspired. So the stories thing is huge. That's the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Actually there's a story on there called Back from the Edge. It's actually one of my friends in Sioux Falls. He's a videographer in town. But he went through this fast-growing cancer while he was like watching the Super Bowl. He thought he had the flu. This is like 15 years ago. It had this, you know, they saved his life. Hmm. Sanford saved his life. It was pretty crazy. But his story's been read by over 500,000 times.
Hmm.
I mean, like, people just eat it up. But so stories is one. The second thing is, you know, strength for the journey. It's just articles about the cancer experience and what it's like to go through it. It's also for people that aren't necessarily going through it themselves, but they want to be encouraging to those that are. So there's like,
ooh, that's good.
We have a cancer chaplain on our board, and he wrote what to say to someone with cancer and what not to say.
Yeah, and I want to dig into that after we do this. I really want to get into that because I think that that's going to be super helpful. So I love that that is a part of this. So I want to circle back on that and really kind of dive into that at a deeper level if we can, as you continue to work through this list. But that I think is so good that you mentioned that because so many times it's not just about the people that are going through like yourself, but it's about, well, how do we help your wife, your kids? How do we help parents of kids that are suffering from cancer? How do we give them strength for the journey that they're on as well? When they have to be strong. I mean, I was just with a friend I was on Good Friday. I went and visited him in the hospital. He's got stage 4 cancer, same thing. Sat with he and his wife for about 45 minutes or so in the hospital room, where, you know, there's a recognition of, okay, this is the day that Jesus went to die. It's known as Good Friday. We're thankful for the resurrection that's coming, but man, this is hard. This is really, really tough. Right. And one of the things that I talked with his wife about is how are you taking care of yourself? And how are you being cared for and given strength during this? Because it's not just your husband going through it, it's you. So I'm really anxious to hear a little bit more about that as we come back to that. But I'm just so grateful that that's a big focus that you're trying to make sure that you guys hit real strong.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you sharing about your friend, and you know, that's really cool. You got to be there for him and visit him, and that's awesome. I forgot to mention this. So there's two other things. So the 4 stories, helpful articles. The third thing is asking God for help. This surprised me, but people want, like, they devour articles on prayer. And it's mostly, you know, a lot of times we'll get these people will say, I'm not religious, but I really need to know how to pray. Well, how do I do this? Like, I'm struggling with cancer and I want to know how to ask God for help. And so we have multiple articles about that. And originally, I would have thought, like, really? I mean, like, I know Christians might want that, but generally, like, people want to know more about spiritual hope. Mm-hmm. And it's been really encouraging to be able to offer that. The 4th thing is we have a prayer and support group on Facebook, just, you know, community.
Yeah.
For people to know that they're not alone. And then also the key word in that group is prayer and support group. So it meets that felt need of having people pray for them. So.
Yeah, that's so good. And that's so interesting because I think that when you're faced with the unknown, when you're faced with those situations that you realize how little control you have, when you face with your mortality, no matter what, our heart is crying out for what's next. And, you know, where is God? If there is a God, how do I connect with that God? So I think that is such a real question that people ask. And so, so when you said asking God for help, it seems like such a simple thing. Like, wait, that has to be a bullet point on what we do. But if we can meet people where they're at and realize that, man, we need to let people, number one, let them know it's okay to ask God for help. It's okay. It's warranted and you should, you know, and here's how you can do that. It's okay to go through the steps of grief and be upset with God. God's a big God. He can handle it. He can handle our emotions regardless of what they are. We already talked about the Psalms and just the questions of why. Like, think about the book of Job. How many times the questions of why is asked in the book of Job, but God's desire is that these things drive us to him. They just drive us to him. And I love that is what you're talking about here, is asking God for help and how do we help people do that? So, okay. So I want to go back to just this whole idea of what we should and shouldn't say, because I think that's something that is just, in general, for people that are suffering, going through difficult times. I think there's a lot of times, especially in the Christian world, that we can say certain things because it's just feels good to say, or like, oh, well, God is in control, or, you know, whatever, which, yes, we hear that, all of that. But what are some of the things that really is helpful and hope-giving for us to know, as if we're journeying with someone in our relational world that is going through cancer, maybe it's in our family, and then I think that there's going to be some of this that is transferable to just journeying with people that are going through challenging times in life, that will be able to be transferred to that. Maybe not in the same way, but some of the same principles. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I got to give credit. We have a chaplain that's on the board of Hope Has Arrived, and he's just been a real gift. He's a pastor for a lot of years and chaplain. And gosh, he was working at the VA hospital, you know, so often with so many cancer patients. But the hard thing is, people mean so well. They mm-hmm. want to be encouraging, mm-hmm. but sometimes they have a hard time of like dealing with their own fear of suffering and then trying to be there for them. There's kind of this, you know, it can be problematic a little bit. But I know here's one thing I think I start with, and it's in some of our articles I'll share. But when you're talking to someone that's going through it, it's really good to keep the focus on them. In other words, like, if they want to talk about it, let's go there. If they don't, let's not. And I think, you know, if you search online, I'd love to pull up the top 10 things you can say to anybody with cancer, and it's going to be encouraging. The reality is, a lot of those things do more harm than good. I'll just give you a couple examples, and I'm not trying to make it overly complex because I really don't think it has to be. But I think we have to undig and some of the damage we do, because I think sometimes when someone's going through it, our reaction is maybe we got to say something that's going to be like just the right thing or to be the hero. But it's like, it's really about them. Hmm. How do we encourage them? Let's keep the focus on them. But like, for example, if you say, oh, you're so brave, and you know, that might land on some people in an okay way, but others, I mean, for example, I have a friend who's, wife has been going through cancer the last few years, and you know, she's like, I don't want to be an inspiration. I don't want to be brave. Like, I just want to be me. Like, I'm tired of hearing that. Mm-hmm. You know, it almost like puts pressure on them, or even if there's days when they don't feel brave. And so it feels good to say that, but it's maybe not that helpful. I think another one that's, and this is so like kind of splitting hairs, but like people are like, I'm really sorry you're going through this. When you say sorry, I know it, like, I know we mean well, but it almost implies a wrong was done. Hmm. I think it's more appropriate to say like, I'm really sad with what you're walking through, you know, and just want you to know I care about you. Like, I think that's maybe a better way to say it. And again, I've learned from the chaplain. He's like, he's really been a blessing to the whole Hope Has Arrived ministry. But I think some other things that we say, oh, I know exactly how you feel. Hmm. You know, do we really? We don't. Hmm. Well, at least your cancer is treatable. Maybe don't say that one. You know, let's see. I'm trying to, there's some other ones. Oh, I'm sure everything is going to be just fine. You know, it's like, well, where's your crystal ball to know that that's true? What if it's not fine? Mm-hmm. You know, God is still there in that. But yeah, I think it's keeping the focus on them. And I think it's just affirming that you care for them. Mm-hmm. And I think the question that can be very appropriate is, you know, how can I pray for you? Mm-hmm. Like at the appropriate point. And what I find, it's really interesting that sometimes people will want to talk about their journey, and other times they don't. They just want to talk. You know, maybe they just want to.
Yeah.
It's.
They want to ski down the mountain of Great Bear. They just
want. Yeah, that's right.
They just want to do something. I remember, and again, significantly different, but there was a, there, you know, my wife had to have neck surgery several years ago. and 2019. And then prior to that, she had some stuff that where she was in the hospital for some GI stuff. And she was constantly getting asked, how are you? What can I do for you? How can I, whatever. And I remember her, and to me, I was like, man, that's so nice. That's just, I mean, people, all these people care and all this. And she said, Tom, I'm more than just my health issues.
Yeah.
I'm more than just, you know, whatever I'm ailing from. And it wasn't because, and it wasn't that she was not appreciative of the care that was being shown. She's just like, I just want to have a normal conversation. I just want to be normal, even though I don't necessarily always feel normal. And so I think that what you just said, that really resonated with me. And when, you know, I've been in ministry now for almost 25 years for many years, it was focused on teenagers, and now it's focused on men and marriages more so. But I just remember being taught early in my youth pastoring years about the power of the ministry of presence and learning how to just be quiet. And we don't, sometimes we run from uncomfortable silence because we feel like we got to say the right thing or we got to fill that time. But man, the ministry of presence is just, it's so powerful. Can you just speak to that and maybe in your own journey of just what the presence of other people did for you?
Oh yeah, it's huge. Yeah, I mean, you nailed it. I love that. And actually, I'd love to give you some links for some of these articles we have that kind of approach this topic too. But yeah, the power of presence, of just being there. And you know, and the thing is, I think people often, they mean so well. Like, you got to give them credit.
Yeah.
I think if you're around them enough, you know, like I feel like if they're really trying to keep the focus on you, they're going to get it right. And they're going to know you, that they care about you. But you said the ministry of presence. I would think, you know, like for me, I just remember, like, my dad was really helpful to me. He was there a lot. He was checking up on me. He even came to appointments with my wife and I. And there was something, just some confidence in that, just like your dad with you in it, you know, mm-hmm. kind of seeing what you're going through. And he didn't, you know, it's not like he always had to come up with the right thing to say. Or, you know, same with my wife, you know, just was there. And I think that's a very powerful thing. Mm. Just, it's almost like people, they just feel loved and valued because you're you know, you're with them. Mm. I think that's a huge thing. But because the problem is, a lot of times there's so many of these things, and even as a parent to learn this, it's like, I can't fix everything my kids are going through.
Right.
You know, I try to orchestrate a good life for them, but ultimately, there's a lot that's out of my hands.
Well, and the reality is that at the end of the day, the most important thing that we can do as parents, the most important thing we can do for other people is letting people know that we're in their corner, you know, that we're in their corner and that mm-hmm. we're just, I mean, regardless of what they're facing, you know, whenever I think about in your corner, I know you and I are about the same age. I'm a couple years older than you, but you know, just the whole, like, who's your Burgess Meredith in the corner of Rocky, right? And he's just like, you know, like, you can do it, Rocky, right? But I mean, like, to know that people are just in it with us regardless. And there's times where it's just like, listen, I'm just going to be with you. I'm just going to be with you. We don't got to talk. We don't. And sometimes, hey, if you need to go be alone, just know that I'm sending you a text that just says, I'm with you. I'm praying for you. You send an audio text. I love audio texting because then you can hear voice. You can hear the voice of the person that just wants to say, hey, look, I just want you to know I love you today. And that I'm just praying for you. And that's it. You know, maybe it's just as simple as that, to just remind people that they're not alone, because I think that loneliness really leads to discouragement, and then discouragement robs us of what? Hope. I mean, that's exactly that, the stuff that you're talking about. And we're kind of approaching the end of our convo here, Chris, but I would love for you to just talk about, you know, just where they can find. So, I mean, a little bit more about the website. We don't have to probably search real far. We're probably all listeners, viewers, know someone who is who is journeying through cancer right now, or we're only one person removed. And so, I mean, I'd love for you to just talk about, you said, I'd love to send you some links. Let's just make sure that we know where everybody can find these links. So talk about the website, what they can, you know, how they get plugged in, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. We're real easy to find. It's hopehasarrived.com. And even if you didn't get it right, it'll probably still come up, or just search it in Google. But yeah, and once you land on there, it's very clear. There's like a, you know, say like find hope now in multiple places. You can kind of click on that button and it talks about the four different ways we help people find hope. But yeah, that's a great way to connect with us. You know, we are happy to pray for you and, you know, take prayer requests, or, you know, you can get involved with our community. You can, you know, you can join our prayer and support group, and we have, you know, people who are going through cancer. We also have family members in there, or people that just have a heart for prayer, mm-hmm. you know? So like it's kind of a variety in there, but also within our community, you know, we send out, there's a new story of hope every month that we send out. We kind of have an email list and, just always sharing new content, mm-hmm. you know, just trying to like, just put hope out there as much as possible. Yeah. So we're super easy to connect with, you know, we're on social media, we're on Instagram and Facebook. Got a pretty good presence there.
And it's free.
A great way to connect with us.
It's free. I mean, it's not like a membership thing. They don't got to pay it's a nonprofit ministry. So like, I mean, but they can sign up for the newsletter. They can get all the resources for free. They can send links to other people, all that kind of thing.
Yes. I think where we shine is, we're a great resource to share with people. So, you know, let's say you're listening and, you know, you don't have cancer, but maybe you have some friends or other people. This is such a great thing to share with people because it gets them right in the thick of this community. Like, it's really difficult to fully understand what people go through. And what's great is to help get them connected with a community that maybe can more so. So we shine as a great resource, you know, that people can share with others. Also, we do have some in-person materials, you know, like, some of the cancer centers in the Midwest are using it, and we're continually trying to expand that, like into, gosh, we got like some other volunteers with Hope Has Arrived. There's a big running event at Purdue coming up this weekend, and we're going to have a presence there. We're going to have a table.
Okay.
You know, all the people in their packets are going to be getting information. So we're digital first. You know, that's the easiest way to find us, but we are growing with some in-person stuff too. And also this event in Sioux Falls is a really fun opportunity to come up.
So. Yeah. So let's end our time here. So on Wednesday, April 24th, we're going to do a lunch here in Sioux Falls, put on by Crew. That's free of charge. So if people are in Sioux Falls, they're listening to this here prior to April 24th. Talk about how they can plug into that lunch, and the lunch is free, but they do need to register. So just talk a little bit more about just location, time, how to get registered, and then we'll kind of end our time just giving you the opportunity to share a final word with everybody.
Absolutely, yeah. So this event, it's on April 24th. It's at the Country Club in Sioux Falls. It's all you have to do to do it is you email an RSVP to david.larson@cru.org.
Yep.
If you can't remember that, there's a link, hopeagainstcancer.org.
Okay.
And you can go there and sign up. And it's just, what's really cool about this event, I got to say this, is that this was not my idea. This was not Hope Has Arrived's idea. The people in the community of Sioux Falls, some concerned, you know, businessmen and Christians in Sioux Falls, I said, hey, what kind of topic should we feature? And of course, they're like, you know, we know a lot of people going through cancer, and they put this together, and they're paying for the lunch, mm-hmm. they're kind of paying for this whole thing. So, and opening it up to the public, just so people can find some hope out there, because there's a lot of people that do. And, you know, of course, after the 24th, Hope Has Arrived's not going anywhere. So you can find us, and we would love to be helpful to you on your journey.
So. Yeah, that's so great. And so you can come if you are able to, April 24th, get yourself registered. In the outro, I'll talk again just about kind of that web or that email that you can email Dave Larson to get registered. You can hear Chris share at that event a little bit more in depth on his story. And it's going to be a great time here in Sioux Falls. So if you're in the area, for sure, make a point to be in there. So, well, Chris, we always end our each episode with something we call the final word, just, you know, anywhere from 30 to 90 seconds of whatever the Lord lays on your heart to just share with the listeners and viewers. Could be encouragement, a challenge, a scripture. So what do you got for us as a final word?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I just think the longer I live, the more I see that, you know, hope, strength, and peace, they're just so important for us in life. We all need it, you know, whether we have cancer or not. Like, that is just so vital to keep us going. And I have been so encouraged to see that, you know, the greatest source of hope is, you know, Jesus Christ, the living hope. And it's just, what's great too is you see that people want that. Like, when the chips are really down, you know, like, people want that. And I love ministries like ResGen and others that they're talking about this hope. So it's really fun to be on your show and get to talk about, you know, giving life and giving hope in a topic that is often not very hopeful. So.
Yeah, no, that's really good. Well, Chris, first of all, thank you for just being a light for the kingdom, just in your personal life and your marriage and your family. I know that you really view as you're the primary minister in your home. And so thank you for just seeing just your life as that. And you are utilizing a platform that you've been given that you didn't choose to share hope with the world and to really bring the world together. When you talk about 3 million people in 151 countries, a community that's being built, that is bringing the world together around the unifying hope of Christ. And so thank you for that. Thank you for your ministry, your heart, the passion in which you serve. And I know that God's going to continue to use you and empower you for his ministry. And thanks for sharing a bit of your story here with me today and with the audience today. And excited to see how God continues to use your story to bless countless people around the world.
Hey, thank you so much, Tom. I really appreciate you too, and your ministry is awesome. So thanks for having me.
All right, brother. We'll talk soon.
You got it.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Chris Lawrence today. As always, if you found this episode helpful, I encourage you to share it with others that may find it helpful as well. If you'd like to connect more with Chris, you can do so at hopehasarrived.com. Also, if you're listening to this during the first 3 weeks of April in 2024, don't forget to get registered for the free crew luncheon in Sioux Falls on April 24th from 11:45 to 1:15 so you can hear Chris share more of his journey in person. To RSVP for that lunch, just send an email to david.larson@cru.org. All right, that's all for today. Thanks again for joining me, and we'll see you next time for another episode of the ResGen Giving Life podcast. Until then, continue being men whose life in Christ gives life to others.